We're well into our series on our reflection on looking at wholeness in this world, this the fractured world in which we live. And I thought this morning we would look at peace. Well, maybe not so much talk about it as actually show it in action. Because peace is one of those funny things. It's easy to talk about, it's easy to experience when everything's just humming along, going the way you want it to go. But when everything falls apart, when the kids are screaming, the phone is ringing, the pot's boiling over, and deadlines are pressing, it's hard to feel peace, isn't it? Or is it just me? I think there's a burning question. Is peace something that we have to manufacture? Or is it possible to find peace in the midst of interruption? I don't know why, but I can go along and everything is going well, and then something will just interrupt me. And it'll just throw me right off balance, and it'll throw me off balance for the rest of the day. And when I look at the life of Jesus, I am struck by how he just always moved in the way of peace. In the midst of pressure, Jesus was receiving pressure to perform and to conform and to reform, and yet he never moved from doing what he wanted to do. He never altered what he wanted to say. He was never taken off the track that he wanted to travel. His is a profound example of a life lived in peace under pressure. There's lots of stories in Scripture, and there's one in particular that, as I was reading it, the peace of Jesus just popped out at me. And I admit, I'd never actually seen it before. It's the story of the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark. And it was one of those surprise moments, an aha moment, because it's not actually detailed there in the text. But it's sitting right there in the subtext of it. And we know this story well. This is a story that if we've grown up in church, we've heard this as Sunday school children. It is one of the stories that gets told again and again and again. We know the miracle, but it's a story that's actually filled with surprises. It's a story of the disciples seeing the world one way and Jesus seeing it in a completely and distinctly different way. And it's a story of contrast where again and again, the disciples move in one direction and Jesus moves in another. And I think what strikes me about this story is I see myself reflected in it. How so often I want to move one way and Jesus wants to move another. And by the grace of Christ, he always wins. For the sake of this church, it's good that he always wins. It's a challenge sometimes, though, with familiar texts, because we actually stop reading them and we start remembering them. We know the headlines and we rush through to the point that we know it's making, and we can miss the depth of what the gospel is telling us. So let's look at the story. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. "We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people." "How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." And they came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up from heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up the 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida, while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. It's a pretty amazing story. But now I want us to actually get into the story. So, close your eyes if you like, but what I want you to do is I want you to feel the warmth of the sun on your face. I want you to feel the breeze coming off the lake. I want you to imagine yourself in the disciples' sandals. You've just come off weeks of ministry. You're full of stories. Amazing things have happened. You can't wait to tell Jesus. You're tired. In fact, you're exhausted. You haven't had time to eat, but there is really no time to eat because such cool things have been going on. You come to the master and you can see the expectancy in his face, and as you're sharing, he's listening. He's attentive. He notices. He sees you're tired. And before he comments on anything that's been done or anything that you're saying, he just simply whispers, "Come with me by yourselves. Let's go off to a quiet place. Let's get some rest." You didn't ask for a break. You were too excited to ask for a break. But as soon as Jesus mentions it, you know that's exactly what you needed. You can feel a sense of pressure coming off your shoulders. You feel a sense of release. And so you get into the boat. And together you head for that solitary place, that retreat. And man, you can't wait to get there. But you see that crowd that's always on the lookout, heads on a swivel looking for what Jesus is going to do next. And they run ahead and they arrive there before you do, and that quiet place no longer is quiet. I can sense your frustration. I can feel your disappointment. I can see it in your faces. But look at the face of Jesus. Look at his eyes. See how they've narrowed? Do you see how he sees the crowd? I mean, he sees them. And you can tell by the change of the tension in his jaw, he has compassion on them again. They know exactly what he's going to do, don't they? See, Jesus knows these are scattered people, searching people, in need of someone to lead them to care for them. And so Jesus begins to teach. And you begin to wonder, how long is this sermon going to be? The day wears on, and you're just getting increasingly restless. It's time to sleep. It's time to eat. It's evening now, and you can just hear the stomachs growling of the crowd. We got to help Jesus. We're going to have to play bad cop here and tell Jesus to send them away. Let them go buy food in the villages. And then Jesus says, you feed them. You care for them. You have compassion on them. You see a problem. And frankly, so do I. But Jesus sees an opportunity. We're seeing scarcity, 5 loaves and 2 fish kind of scarcity. It's not enough. There's never enough. But Jesus, even here, even with so little, sees possibility. He takes it from us. He takes these 5 loaves and these 2 sad little fish. He blesses them and he breaks them and he breaks them and he breaks them and he breaks them and fills basket after basket after basket, and he sends you out. And you're dispersed out through the crowd, and as they eat, and as they are satisfied, you gather it all up and you're standing there looking at 12 full baskets. There's leftovers. See, we thought that we had nothing to offer. And Jesus shows us that when we surrender to God, there's more than enough. And then it's all over. And suddenly Jesus just sends them away. And then he makes us get in the boat. He sends us away. And that's a tale to tell, because we're about to see him walk on water. But that's a story for another day. Because today, you can see him. He's heading up in the hills again. Well, I know what he's going to do. He's going to pray. In this story that began with us needing rest, ends with Jesus praying for us. It's a pretty good story. See, all along the way, we needed to discover a Savior whose attention was never captured by his own needs, but was always focused on the needs of others. We needed to see a Savior that loved us enough to slow us down, and then loved us enough to push us out. Peace is not something Jesus is teaching in this passage. Peace is something that he embodies in the midst of pressure. And where everyone else is reacting to the circumstances, he is responding to the moment. Everyone else is being pushed in one direction, and Jesus is just steady. He's not indifferent. He's fully engaged. But he is never controlled by the chaos. His peace is coming from a full and complete trust in God the Father. And it's this peace that shapes every single move that he makes. I love this story. So what can we take away from the text? First, I think we can take away from the text, Jesus is saying our human limitations are not failures. I get tired, and there's some times where I'm serving the church, and I think to myself, that wasn't really great. I didn't really give you my all. And then I feel somehow like my being tired is a failure. Maybe you felt that too in your work or in your family. Your humanness is exactly the way God made you to be. And the disciples, man, they're tired. And yet Jesus treats this as just simply part of the human condition and gives rest. And when we're depleted, when we are just done, we become preoccupied with our limits. We pay attention to the things we can't do. And we get frustrated. We get anxious. Scarcity actually begins to govern the way we think. There isn't enough. Man, every time it's budget time, we feel that, don't we? I mean, we're in a church that's 60 years old. There's always more need than there is resources. I mean, I've had a lot of conversations recently with the resource team. And I read this passage and said, oh man, we got nothing to worry about. If he can take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed 5,000, this is nothing. And so I relax. See, these aren't bad disciples. They're tired disciples. Have you ever been a tired disciple? Yeah. Are you tired right now? Are you tired of this sermon? Rest, recovery, and dependence are not signs of weakness. They're the way God made us to be. Because we were never meant to do it all ourselves. And wholeness begins not by denying our limits, but by accepting them and entrusting them to Jesus. Peace begins when we stop trying to be more than God made us to be. He made us to be human. That's all he wants from you. The next thing that jumps out at me is that Jesus cares for the whole person. The whole person. He sees that the crowd is in need, and so he teaches them. And he feeds them. He does not reduce them to just bodies or souls. He treats them as whole people. And he addresses the crowd and his disciples as whole people. And he welcomes us to bring every part of ourselves to his healing presence, body, mind, and soul. Every piece of us, he wants to come and he wants to heal and he wants to make whole. So this isn't a conversation and a series about spiritual wholeness, but it is. It's not a series about bodily wholeness, but it's that too. It's not a series about mental health, and yet it is. Because you're not just a bunch of pieces. Jesus wants to heal the whole of you. And peace grows when we place our whole lives, every part of us, under his care. Third, compassion leads us beyond scarcity. When we begin to see others and their needs, we begin to press in. We begin to go where Jesus is nudging us to go. Jesus responds differently than the disciples. They're saying, send them away. And man, I get that. If I had been, well, I'll tell you this. I am at my worst about 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon. I take a nap at 2 o'clock every Sunday afternoon. If you want to find me at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and ask me to do some pastoral care, I will. It'll be terrible. Because Jesus says, you give them something, even though we're tired. Because Jesus knows compassion changes what we see and how we see it. We always see a problem, but Jesus sees people. We see what's lacking, but Jesus sees God's presence. He sees the opportunity for the miraculous. And interestingly, it's Jesus who sent the disciples towards a need that they could not possibly have met. And so if Jesus, it feels like he's sending you towards a need that you can't possibly meet, that's your aha moment. That's exactly what's happening, because you're not meant to meet it. He's going to provide you what you need. You just faithfully step into it. Because disciples, they're called to participate directly in the actions of the movement of the Spirit. We're never meant to be the source of the miracle. We're just invited into it. And that is the invitation here. To see that peace is not found in controlling our circumstances. Wholeness is not found in self-sufficiency. It's not found when we isolate ourselves so we can have peace. Those aren't bad things. Jesus goes to the mountains. But they're not found in pushing every demand and interruption away. It's found in following Jesus, resting when he says rest, serving when he says serve, trusting him with what we cannot handle, and trusting him with what is not enough, so that we can discover that his provision is most often found not before we actually step out in faith, but as we participate in what God is already enacting, in what God is already doing. I have the privilege of mentoring new pastors. And it's not uncommon when I have my first few conversations with them for them to come to me and tell me about all the things broken in their church, thinking that it's their job to fix that. And the first thing I say to them is, oh my goodness, don't do that. That's death. Look for where the Spirit is working already and go there. Because as those things grow, the death just gets pushed out. Let the health overwhelm the sickness. Don't break yourself trying to fix something that you were never meant to fix. Peace becomes possible when scarcity no longer has the last word. How do we live this story? What I find most interesting about this passage throughout this whole story is that the disciples actually do exactly what Jesus says to do. We often see in these texts the disciples have gone in the wrong direction. We see them making countless bonehead moves. Look at my life. You'll count enough bonehead moves as well. But in this story, they actually are doing everything the way they've been asked. Jesus says, come away and rest. They get into the boat. But the crowd gets there first. Jesus says, give them something to eat. And while they protest, they still go ahead and organize the crowd, distribute the bread, gather the leftovers. Jesus says, get back in the boat. They get back in the boat, and they sail out into the middle of the lake where they're going to experience another miracle. They're actually pretty obedient in this story. They're just exhausted. And I think that's the whole point of this entire series. We live in a fractured world, and we will continue to face disruption, disorientation, and disappointment. That is guaranteed. But what Jesus is offering here is not an escape, but peace, even though the world around you seems to be falling apart. And I think there's a couple of calls here. And one is to make space in your life for rest. Pay attention to your pace. Know how full your life has become. Build in moments of quiet and prayer and renewal into your week. Rest is not something that we have to earn when we've done a good job or when the work is all done. It is a gift. It is one of the things that was in my summer bag. We all need it. So pay attention to your signs of exhaustion. When you feel depleted, when everything around you feels like you've hit your limits. Because limits are part of God's design. They are not a failure or something for you to overcome. But in this, we have to accept that life doesn't always cooperate. You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. The disciples made space for rest. They got into the boat. They went to the quiet place, but then the crowd disrupted them. Disruptions will come. But sometimes those are holy disruptions. Sometimes crises emerge and demands arrive upon your life uninvited. The goal then is not to create a perfectly protected life, where nothing ever interrupts your peace. The goal is to remain responsive to the movement of Jesus, because sometimes he is leading you into rest, and sometimes he's actually moving you into the interruption so that in your exhaustion, there's no question in your mind who's actually done the miracle. We're so quick to take credit. Look back to the very beginning of this passage. What did the disciples say? Jesus, look what we did. They were taking credit. But you can't take credit when your bucket's empty and yet you're still called to pour out for others. I think the deeper invitation in this story is not simply to rest more, but to trust Jesus enough to follow him wherever he leads. Pay attention to what you have. We're all prone to focus on what's missing. But there's a call here to pay attention to what Jesus is doing. It's a call into gratitude, actually. The disciples were not wrong about their circumstances. 5 loaves and 2 fish is not enough to feed 5,000 people. Can we just all agree? And the problem was not that they misread the situation. The problem was that that scarcity became the lens through which they saw everything happening. And see, what Jesus is doing here is saying, when it looks impossible, when scarcity seems to rule the day, that's the moment you look up. Because if you've been called to do something, and that's clear, but the resources haven't yet arrived, step in. Because Jesus is inviting us to begin with a different question. What has God already given us? So before we focus on what's missing, God is inviting us to notice the gifts he's given us. To grab that backpack, peek on in there and see the water bottles and the frisbees and the books and the people. And then be like Frida and play. Oh, that's awesome. And then place those things into the hands of Jesus and ask him to do something with them. And then bring the needs to him. Because that's exactly what the disciples did. They brought their needs to Jesus. They brought the problem. And in doing so, they were able to receive what Jesus had to offer. The disciples never solved the problem. Jesus did. They just became part of the solution. Their role wasn't to provide the miracle. It was just to trust, obey, and participate. Peace rarely comes after uncertainty is resolved. There will be another crisis. More often, peace comes when we entrust ourselves to Jesus in the midst of the uncertainty. And so the invitation here is to take whatever is weighing on you, your stress, worry, exhaustion, take your health, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, give it to Jesus. Bring all the things that are pulling at you and weighing on you, bring them to Jesus. Bring them all that is not enough. Bring him what feels impossible. Bring him what you simply cannot control and trust him with these things. They're beyond your ability to carry because you were never made to carry them. In the end, this is really not a story about five loaves and two fish. It's not a story about a miracle. It's the story about a shepherd. A shepherd who sees exhausted disciples and invites them into rest. A shepherd who sees a wandering crowd and teaches them and loves them. A shepherd who takes what is not enough and makes it enough. A shepherd who calls us to follow him both in rest and interruption, in abundance and in scarcity, in certainty and in uncertainty. And the promise of this story is that wholeness will be found in not in having enough. It's found in staying close to that shepherd. Church, it's all about the shepherd. This whole series has been all about the shepherd. You have a treat next week because Julie's going to talk all about the shepherd. Because the peace that renews us is not found in controlling life. It's found in following the shepherd. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for being the Father we could never be to release your Son to save us. Lord, thank you that through your Son, we see how much you love us, all of us, and how much you want us to be whole. Lord, in this moment, in this place, listening to this prayer, there are people who are carrying burdens, whose lives are broken, who simply are lost in scarcity. Lord, I pray right now that you would bring hope, that you would bring a sense of peace, even in the midst of the uncertainty. Lord, help us to step faithfully into the call and not allow scarcity to rule our decisions. Help us to continue being a generous people. Help us to be faithful with the little so that maybe you'll give us something to be faithful with a bit more. And Lord, for the needs that are right outside our door, the crowd in Old Strathcona, who are like sheep without a shepherd. Lord, may this church, may our lives point to you, the good shepherd. Father, we pray that ever more increasingly we would be people of peace in a fractured world that needs hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.